To share, please do. We're going to start though with chapter 10, and I do remember making the comment that chapters 10 through 19 are kind of take Proverbs in a different direction. What do we know about Proverbs? It was written by a man named Solomon, right? And what was special about Solomon that Scripture says? He was the wisest person that God gave wisdom to. Wow, you say, I've lived a long time. I'm pretty wise. But apparently not as wise as Solomon was able to get. The wisdom we get should still be from God, yes. But look, we could have studied everything that Solomon wrote and then we could be wiser than he, right? No. Brenda's shaking her head, no. Wiser than Solomon? Not if God called him the wisest that ever lived. But what is our goal? To be as wise as God wants us to be. And that's really important. And there are many statements in Proverbs that we use in our life today. But as we go through this next section of chapters 10, much of it basically tells us this is right, this is wrong, this is good, this is evil. And yet he says it in a way that is an encouragement to our heart. But I like going through each of these individual chapters. And you think I've been going through Job, Psalms, and so far Proverbs in a machine gun style that I just do chapter, hit a couple of things in a new chapter. When you go through these verses, there's no way I can say all the things about what's good and what's evil from this, the wisest man that God blessed with wisdom. All but two verses of chapter 10 are just as I explained. The first part of the verse starts with something good and ends with something evil. In contrast, in other words, opposites. Or the verse starts with something evil and finishes with something good. And it just does verse, good, evil, and your head can start spinning. So is that my goal, is to get all your heads spinning about how fast the good and the evil? No. Because as I go through some things that the Lord has given me just for you to focus on, we'll be pointing out several verses that I trust will be a great blessing to you or will be something that God will help you to fix if you see that there's a shortfall in your life. Last week I mentioned you should be thinking about four kinds of people. There are those who are wise, and the opposite of wisdom is foolishness. So those two, these chapters are going to deal with. The wise are those that are doing good, and the evil, the foolish, are those that say there's no God and reject God completely. But then the other two categories of people are the simple, which are those that maybe have not learned, primarily the younger folks. And what was the fourth? Anybody remember? Because right now it's not coming to my mind, and I'm surprised. I'll go back and look at it a little bit later. Let's continue. The first verse I'd like you to look at is verse 18. Here is one of the exceptions that doesn't list something good than something evil. One of the two. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. See, God dedicated a whole verse to describing someone who is a fool. And it has to do with how we use our tongue, right? So how much do you use your tongue? Do you keep it quiet a lot more than it's saying things? Well, that goes with my nature. When I'm around a group of people and I'm not given the responsibility of teaching, I most of the time will just sit and listen and occasionally say something. But this is a good verse. We need to hate lying lips. We need to keep lying as far away from us as possible. Verse 26 describes the sluggard, somebody who's lazy. Verse 30, I like this. The righteous shall never be removed. Removed from where? Removed from what? The first part of verse 30, the righteous shall never be removed. Anybody going to help fill in the blank? From what? From the earth. Oh, you mean we expect God to come and take Christians to heaven one day? Yes! That's one application. Be removed from the earth. What's another way besides the rapture of the church? Never be removed from the love of Jesus. That's a good answer. I put in there, removed from the cares of the world. We've got to remove ourselves from the cares of the world because they can burden us down. They can get us in a place where we lose the joy of the Lord. That's where my mind went. When we have, number one, the Lord Jesus who saved our soul, he gives us the Holy Spirit to do what? Empower us to do the work God has for us to do. And we can then fulfill God's work as we grow in the things of the Lord. Chapter 11. It's a comparison of wisdom and foolishness. Lots of aspects of wisdom compared to foolishness. Verse 4, or 4 of the verses, break that rapid fire comparison. I'd like to look at verse 30. This is probably a verse you've heard many, many times and maybe even memorized. The fruit of the righteous is a what? Tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. You want to be more wise? Be more evangelistic. Be reaching out to people who don't know much about the scripture, who maybe are seeking the Lord for salvation through the struggles of life. Chapter 12. A lot of practical advice for living righteously for the Lord. Again, it's compared to the opposite of living righteously and being foolish. Verse 2, a good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. That's a pretty strong warning. Moving on to chapter 13. I've got more to say. I want you to be able to read 3 verses with me this time. There are a lot of positive results of living for God. And I want to remind us of some of those. Yes, there are always negative consequences for wrong choices. But chapter 13, I want to look at verse 13 to start with. Would you read it out loud with me? Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. Oh, starts negative, ends positive. Verse 15. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. We probably know some people who've had a really hard life. Praise the Lord at the memorial service. Brother Richard Baldwin. It was almost a two-hour service of praise and celebration of a man who was faithful. And he used to be a member here. We just praise the Lord that a life like his is a really good example. Go to verse 21, please. Evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. I like those. Those are the half of each of those verses is very encouraging. On to chapter 14. There are five verses that I'd like to note. Verse 2, he that walketh uprightly in his uprightness feareth the Lord, but he that is perverse in his ways despiseth him. In this section of Proverbs, good, bad, bad, good, they come in such rapid succession. You just need to take time to think about the ones that maybe are going to be most beneficial to you. If you jump down to verse 12, again, this is one you probably have heard. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. Can you finish without looking? But the end thereof are the ways of death. Stark reminder. Let's live for God. If you'd go to verse 21. He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth. But he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. Really good. And verse 34, again, is a common verse. Righteousness exalteth the nation. Does our nation need that? Righteousness exalteth the nation. Very timely. But sin is a reproach to any people. God lets the things in his word penetrate our heart for a reason. If we just give it the opportunity. With chapter 15, I again want to go over five more verses. You probably have memorized verse 1, but I was going to skip it this time. Go to verse 4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Does that fit into what you would say your life has? A wholesome tongue? A tree of life? Is a dead tree good for anything? Firewood. Firewood. Or maybe the boards that we put up so many walls with. In order to use the wood in the tree, it has to be chopped down and cut into pieces. So there are some uses. But a tree of life? That's exciting. Verse 9. The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord. Here's the positive. But he loveth him that followeth after righteousness. We need to be on that path. The very beginning of verse 16. Better is little with the fear of the Lord. Back in verse 7, you remember what the fear of the Lord brings? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of, or Proverbs 1:7, I should have said. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge and understanding. The fear of the Lord, is that what gets you to do what God wants you to do? Is your have a fear of him? Well, that's better than not fearing the Lord. But what is the best motivator to do things for God? His love. And it takes both of that. Because of our sinful nature, we need to have a fear of the Lord. But that's the very beginning. The rest of it should be the love of the Lord and why we do the things that we do. Verse 20, a wise son maketh a glad father. Yes? And the end of that verse tells what happens if you have a foolish son. That's not good. Verse 31, the ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. Do you let God guide you so you don't have to make wrong choices? Most of us would call this the school of what? Hard knocks. I don't really know if my dad was saved, but he still taught me the school of hard knocks is not the best way to learn. And that's characteristic of lots of lives. Chapter 16. This chapter has seemingly a lot more positive things, even though there's good and bad, good and evil. Look at more of the positive parts. We're going to look at both verse 3 and verse 16, but in verse 3 says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts will be established. We have to think about serving God first? Well, that's where our motive comes in, right? We choose, hey, this is what God wants me to do. It's right. It's helpful to people. It's being kind. It's fulfilling what Jesus would want me to do. And how is that going to change the rest of your thinking? It will. For the good. Verse 16 tells us why wisdom is better than money. It doesn't use the word money in the verse. What does it use? The word gold. Well, the idea is our resources. Wisdom is far better than even the most precious gold that man has found on the earth. In chapter 17, look at verse 3, if you will, please. The refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold. Finish it with me. But the Lord trieth the hearts. What makes silver more valuable? Pardon? The heat. Because what happens with the heat? It's got to melt. And because of the weight of silver, it's usually heavier than the dirt that could be in the silver. So that dirt rises to the top. They scrape it off. In ancient Babylon, how many times did they purify silver and gold? 7 times they did this. before they figured they had pure silver or pure gold. Is there an analogy about the trials in our life are refining us? Here is Solomon's wisdom. What value do we put on our resources, on our money, silver and gold? Wisdom is far better. Go to verse 13, please. Whoso rewardeth evil for good, evil shall not depart from his house. We see so much evil in the world. Why is it going to continually get worse? Because God's going to keep this warning. He's going to. You probably have heard the first part of verse 17, a friend loveth at all times. Does it also say something about we have a friend closer than a brother? Our Lord and Savior. Verse 22, are you happy today? It says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. In fact, it's a better medicine than a lot of medicines we get. Oh, so that means we should be happy all the time. Well, God would like us to have the joy of the Lord all the time, but life's circumstances don't always permit that. But a merry heart is really good. Look at verse 27. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. There's some powerful words. On to chapter 17. On to 18. The format of Proverbs 18 does away from the rapid fire, evil, good, good, evil. It gives a little bit more of some promises, I believe, that God has for us. It gives a little bit of explanation for some of them. I'd like us to look at verse 10 to start with. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Do you like going to the Lord, the strong tower? Is he the strong tower in your life? If not, find a way to get there. Verse 24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And here's the verse. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Solomon didn't know the name of Jesus, but there are verses that indicate Jesus is our best friend. You know any hymns that tell about Jesus being our friend? What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. Yes. We have to cling to him. He's closer than a brother. And Solomon said that about 900 years before the Lord came, and that was about 3,000 years ago from where we are today. And is he still closer than a brother? Our very best friend. Chapter 19. Going to verse 16 is where I'd like you to turn to first. He that keepeth the commandment keepeth his own soul, but he that despiseth his ways shall die. There's application to salvation there. But what about for a saved person? What would you think would be a good application to keep the commandments, to keep our soul? keep, when you trust Jesus as your Savior, you keep your soul? Yes, but what about our daily walk? Should we keep God's commandments? How is that going to keep our soul? Keep it from what? From doing the wrong things and the consequences that go along with those wrong things. God corrects Christians. So we need to keep our soul, first of all, salvation, but secondly, just in our daily walk. It doesn't get us to heaven when we have a clean life. But what did God say Christians get for a clean life and being obedient? Rewards in eternity. I won't be able to take my titanium ring with me. By the way, how would you like to be allergic to gold? I can't wear a gold ring. First 5 years of my marriage, I had a rash around my finger till I finally figured out I was allergic to gold. Now we tried silver, and that was good, except silver isn't as strong, and it got bent and marred. And so I went to titanium. You say, but it's not shiny and silvery. No, it's coated with black. I don't know why they coated it with black, but it's still the promise I made my wife. Was that enough of a breather? Are we ready to go on? Now I lost where I was. Chapter 19, is that where I am? Okay, verse 16, that's right. He that keepeth the commandments keepeth his soul. Verse 21, there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord shall stand. We have to remind ourselves, God's the one that has the final say. Please read verse 23 with me out loud. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. Wow. Do we really believe that could be possible? That God protects us from evil? Well, what does it say we should do first? Keep his commandments. So there's a good motivation. Next verse, verse 24. Judgments are prepared for scorners and stripes for the backs of fools. In so many societies, we don't punish evildoers like we should. And that's been quite evident in several parts of our country. Rioting and burning and looting. And really, nothing being done to try to stop it much. Glad it's not happening here. We're getting to chapter 20. The just man, verse 7, the just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. What is the real testimony of a righteous family? Is how do the children and grandchildren end up? We have a visiting grandma that brought her granddaughter to visit someone in our teen class. But there's the proof of a righteous life. Scripture says to the third and fourth generation. Sometimes it doesn't make it that far. But we're praising the Lord when it does. That's right. That's our goal. 20 verse 11. Even a child is known by his doing, whether his work be pure or whether it be right. We don't have to train a two-year-old how to throw a fit, do we? Do we send them to school? This is how you throw a fit? No. Were you able to use the book of Proverbs to fix that problem in a young child? The rod of correction? I'm just saying, God's word is going to be true. Verse 27, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Does God know what's happening in Leo's body? Leo, does God know that? Yes, he does. Now, why doesn't he fix it all? Right? Isn't that what we need to think? Brenda, same thing. Linda, everybody in this room pretty much. Why doesn't God just fix it? If he knows what the problem is, who's going to answer? Linda? Okay. Right. God doesn't take away all of our infirmities. He could. But as Linda was just saying, if we had no trials and problems, how much more time would we spend in prayer? Praying for other people. How much of our life? God knew that we needed that to grow our faith. And there's another perfect thing. How do we know we need God? We've got to have problems so that we say, I can't handle this. I've got to depend on my God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Excellent responses. I like that. What about the Holy Spirit, who God says is placed in the life of a Christian, helps reveal to us how God views our inner soul? Scripture says he knows how many hairs we have on our head. He knows the name of every star. And now this verse indicates the Holy Spirit. God uses the Holy Spirit to penetrate our soul, which should help strengthen us and to reveal impurities. You know, going back to the refining of gold and silver, we need to have that refining done. But the Holy Spirit is the access God has to every soul. 21. Verse 1 says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Does it really matter who our next president is? Well, we might not like the way it looks at this moment, but we better make sure God's going to be able to turn his heart any way God wants it to go and be supportive. I'd like all of us to read verse 21, please. I'll read it from here in the Word. Chapter 21, sorry. He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness and honor. Does that sound like pretty good interest? Interest, where you give a little bit and you get more back, right? What does God want us to do in this verse? Follow righteousness and mercy. That's two things. And what do we get in return? What's the interest? Life, righteousness, and honor. Oh. if we're going to be on the humble side of giving, God's going to be on the rewarding side of blessing. I like that. We'll end with chapter 22 for today. Verse 1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. That same application of having a reputation. Verse 4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Oh, that sounds like a pretty good exchange also, right? Humility for riches, honor, and life. Verse 9, he that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed. Does God say it's more blessed to give than receive? And God loveth a cheerful giver? I want to read the whole section of 17 through 21. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. The wicked shall be a ransom for the righteous, and the transgressor for the upright. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honor. When we stop and think, what is God going to do with us? He's given us all of this instruction. We need to spend our life learning the love letter he has for us. Let's pray. Father, I know my lessons seem to cover hundreds of ideas, but let some of them cling in the heart of each one who's able to hear. Let it be important to guide our lives, the power of God and righteousness. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.